War Scrolls. The sons of light versus the sons of darkness. Machanim, the two camps, and the gates of heaven. We'll begin with some readings of scripture in order to lay the foundation here where I'm going. From Genesis 31, 36, then Yaakov. I will go up further. Genesis 31, 25. When Laban caught up with Yaakov, Yaakov had set up camp in the hill country. So Laban and his kinsmen set up camp in the hill country of Gilead. Laban said to Yaakov, "What do you mean by deceiving me and carrying off my daughters as if they were captives, taken in war? Why did you flee in secret and deceive me and not tell me? I would have sent you off with joy and singing to the music of tambourines and lyres. You didn't even let me kiss my sons and daughters goodbye. What a stupid thing to do. I have had it in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night and said, 'Be careful that you don't say anything to Yaakov, either good or bad. Granted that you had to leave because you longed so deeply for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods?' Yaakov answered Laban, 'Because I was afraid. I said, suppose you take your daughters away from me by force. But if you find your gods with someone, that person will not remain alive. So with our kinsmen to witness, if you spot anything that I have which belongs to you, take it back.' Yaakov did not know that Rachel had stolen them. Laban went into Yaakov's tent, then into Leah's tent, and into the tent of the two slave girls, but he did not find them. He left Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household gods, put them in the saddle of the camel, and was sitting on them. Leah felt all around the tent, but did not find them. She said to her father, 'Please don't be angry that I'm not getting up in your presence, but it's the time of my period.' So he searched, but he didn't find the household gods. Then Yaakov became angry and started arguing with Laban. 'What have I done wrong?' he demanded. 'What is my offense that you have come after me in hot pursuit? You have felt all around in my step, but have you found all your household goods? Put it here, in front of my kinsmen and yours, so that you can render judgment between the two of us. I have been with you for these 20 years. Your female sheep and goats haven't aborted their young. I haven't eaten the male animals in your flocks. If one of your flock was destroyed by a wild animal, I didn't bring the carcass to you, but bore the loss myself. You demanded that I compensate you for any animal stolen, whether by day or by night. Here's how it was for me. During the day, thirst consumed me, and at night, the cold. My sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock. And you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the one whom Yitzhak fears, had not been on my side, by now you would have certainly already sent me away with nothing. God has seen how distressed I've been and how hard I worked, and last night he passed judgment in my favor." Laban answered to Yaakov, "The daughters are mine, and the children are mine, the flocks are mine, and everything you see is mine. But what can I do today about these daughters of mine or the children they have borne? So now, come, let's make a covenant, I and you, and let it stand as a testimony between me and you." Yaakov took a stone and set it upright as a standing stone. Then Yaakov said to his kinsmen, "Gather some stones." And they took the stones and made a pile of them and ate there by the pile of stones. And Laban called Yagashadata, which means a pile of witness in Aramaic, while Yaakov called it Galed, a pile of witness in Hebrew. And Laban said, "This pile witnesses between me and you today. This is why it's called Galed, and also Hamitzpah, the watchtower, because he said, 'May Adonai watch between me and you when we are apart from each other. If you cause pain to my daughters or you take wives in addition to my daughters, then even if no one is there with us, still God is witness between me and you.'" Laban also said to Yaakov, "Here is the pile and here is the standing stone which I have set up between me and you. May this pile be a witness and may the standing stone be a witness that I will not pass beyond this pile to you. And you will not pass beyond this pile and this standing stone to me to cause harm. May the God of Abraham and also the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. But Yaakov swore by the one his father, Yitzhak, feared. Yaakov also offered a sacrifice on the mountain and invited his kinsmen to the meal. They ate food and spent the whole night on the mountain. Genesis 32, Maftir, Genesis, Birshit. Early in the morning, Laban got up and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban left and returned to his own place. Yaakov went on his way, and the angel of God met him. When Yaakov saw them, he said, "This is God's camp," and he called that place Mahanaim, two camps. The next scripture I would like to read is from Hosea 11, starting with verse 5. He will not return to the land of Egypt, but Ashur will be his king because they refuse to repent. The sword will fall on his cities, destroying the bars of his gates because they follow their own advice. My people are hanging in suspense about returning to me. And though they call them upwards, nobody makes a move. Ephraim, how could I give you up or surrender you, Israel? How could I treat you like Adamah or make you like Zeoim? My heart recoils at the idea as compassion warms within me. I will not give vent to the fierceness of my rage. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God, not a human being, the Holy One among you. So I will not come in fury. They will go after Adonai, who will roar like a lion. For he will roar, and the children will come trembling from the west. They will tremble like a bird as they come from Egypt, like a dove as they come from the land of Ashur, and I will resettle them in their own houses. Let's look at the scripture from John chapter 1, 43 through 51. The next day, having decided to leave for the Galil, Yeshua found Philip and said, "Follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, the town where Andrew and Kepha lived. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one that Moshe wrote about in the Torah, also the prophets. It's Yeshua ben Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael answered him, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" "Come and see," Philip said to him. Yeshua saw Nathanael coming toward him and remarked about him, "Here's a true son of Israel, nothing false in him." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Yeshua answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Yeshua answered him, "You believe all this just because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than that." Then he said to him, "Yes, indeed, I tell you that you will see heaven open and the angels of God going up and coming down upon the Son of Man." Yeshua here is referring to the scripture in Genesis 28:12. Well, let's start with Genesis 28:10. Yaakov went out from Beersheba and traveled towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed the night there because the sun had set. He took a stone from the place and put it under his head and lay down there to sleep. He dreamt that there before him was a ladder resting on the ground with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of Adonai were going up and down on it. Then suddenly Adonai was standing there next to him, and he said, "I am Adonai, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Yitzhak. The land on which you are lying, I will give to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the grains of dust on the earth. You will expand to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. By you and your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Look, I am with you. I will guard you wherever you go. I will bring you back into this land because I won't leave you until I have done what I have promised you." And Yaakov woke up from his sleep and said, "Truly Adonai in this place, and I didn't know it." And then he became afraid and said, "This place is fearsome. This has to be the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Yaakov got up early in the morning, took the stone he had put under his head, set it up as a standing stone, poured olive oil on its top, and named the place Bethel, house of God. But the town had originally become, had originally been called Lutz. Now, in War Scrolls 1, we are going to look at these scriptures. Here, the last scripture, which talks about Jacob being at Bethel and it being the gates of heaven, and then Yeshua refers to it. This passage with Nathanael here say, an Israelite without any guile. Jacob had guile. And Yeshua, Jesus, was saying, I am the gate of heaven. And you have to come in to and enter in by listening to me and obeying. And the guile will be removed. So we're going to look at the keys of entering into the gates of heaven and the Lord releasing his awesome anointing when we come into conflict with Esau or brothers or others, how the Lord will go before us and make a way and set up the camps of the angels of God to do battle for us. This is the brief overview. So we'll begin with the first scripture so you can know where I'm going. This is about hearing what God is saying to you, the prophetic destiny, and then being obedient to it. And as the Lord works in and through you, then the inheritance, which is Yeshua, the promise, the Messiah, will become a blessing to all the nations. For the Lord is King over all the universe, and the fullness of the earth and all that is in it belongs to him. And the process is removing the guile. Who's one that has guile? The serpent, the liar. This is the battle of the sons of light against the sons of darkness, and the Lord perfecting and purging his inheritance, which is the nations, even to the ends of the earth. Now, in the first scene in Genesis 31, verse 32, let me remind you that Laban caught up with Yaakov, and he accused him of deceiving him and carrying off his daughters as if they were captives taken in war. Right here, we see the issue is war. This is war. Why did you flee in secret and deceive me and not tell me? I would have sent you out with joy and singing in the music of tambourines and lyres. You didn't even let me kiss my sons and daughters goodbye. What a stupid thing to do. I have it in my power to do you harm, which was his intent in the first place for the last 20 years. But the God of your father spoke to me last night and said, be careful that you don't say anything to Yaakov, either good or bad. Why? Because God had spoken to Jacob and told him to get up and go back home. It was time. Granted that you did not have, you had to leave because you longed so deeply for your father's house, but why did you steal my gods? Aha! You know, I have the power and my gods have power. That's what Laban's saying. My gods are greater and you've stolen them. And Jacob answered to Laban, I was afraid, and I said, suppose you take your daughters away from me by force, which was the intention that Laban had. He said it out of his mouth. He had been deceiving Jacob for years by not releasing him with all his material acquisitions. But if you had your gods with someone, that person will not remain alive. But if you find your gods with someone, that person will not remain alive. So with our kinsmen, to witness, if you spot anything that I have which belongs to you, take it back. So this is about what belongs to who? The stuff, the children, the grandchildren, the flocks, the gods. Whose God is going to prevail here? And both of these men are supplanters and deceivers. Yaakov did not know that Rachel had stolen them. Laban went into Yaakov's tent and then into Leah's tent and the tent of the two slave girls, but he didn't find them. He left Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household gods, put them in the saddle of the camel, and was sitting on them, and Laban felt all around the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her brother, please, don't be angry that I'm not going, getting up in your presence, but it's the time of my period. So he searched, but he did not find the household gods. Now, I want to look a little bit closer at the book of Jasher. It's a chronological book, a pseudepigraphical book around the scriptures that goes into more detail. It is quoted twice, referred to twice in the canon of scriptures, and didn't say that in the book of Jasher. Let's go to Jasher, the book of Jasher, chapter 31. Chapter 31, verse 40. And Rachel stole her father's images, and she took them, and she concealed them upon the camel upon which she sat, and she went on. And this is the manner of the images. Here we're going to find out what the idolatrous issue is. From Ur of the Chaldees. This is the ancient Babylon, all right? And these are their gods. In taking a man who is the firstborn, taking the firstborn, and slaying him, and taking the hair off his head, and taking salt, and salting the head, and anointing it in oil. Then taking a small tablet of copper or a tablet of gold and writing the name upon it and placing the tablet under his tongue and taking the head with the tablet under the tongue and putting it in the house and lighting up lights before it and bowing down to it. And at that time, when they bow down to it, it speaketh to them in all matters that they ask of it through the power of the name which is written in it. And some make them in the figures of men of gold and silver and go to them in times known to them. And the figures receive the influence of the stars and tell them future things. And in this manner were the images which Rachel stole from her father. So these are familiar spirits of divination and astrology. And Rachel stole these images which were her father's in order that Laban might not know through them where Jacob had gone. And Laban came home, and he asked concerning Jacob and his household, and he was not to be found. And Laban sought his images to know where Jacob had gone, and could not find them. So, and when he went to some other images, and he inquired of them, and they told him that Jacob had fled from him to his father's, to the land of Canaan. Now here we see that these images, these demonic, idolatrous, occult powers. They have power, and Laban was under their influence. And Laban then rose up, and he took his brothers and all his servants, and he went forth and pursued Jacob, and he overtook them in Mount Gilead. And Laban said unto Jacob, what is this thou hast done to me to flee and deceive me and lead my daughters and their children as captives taken by the sword? Now this word deceive in Hebrew also means to steal my heart. And this speaks of Laban and Abraham were relatives. And Abraham, when God came to him, told him to get out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees, and because he was in this idolatrous pagan worship, Babel worship, divination. And he needed to hear God and obey. He needed to hear God and obey. And why deceive? Deceive. Laban was still practicing demonic worship, idolatrous worship. And it's interesting that the word deceive means to steal my heart. It was a serpent that deceived Eve. She stole he stole Eve's heart away from obedience to God, and Adam also. They stole, both of those, stole away the worship, the heart, their hearts towards God through their disobedience. This is what idolatry does. It is a heart issue. And interestingly enough, this is what the contention will be about. And thou didst not suffer me to kiss them and send them away with joy, and thou didst steal my gods and didst go away. This is that flesh nature wants to rule. Instead of obedience, Laban wanted to continue to have, these are my children, these are my daughters, these are my flocks, you took everything. And that it was not so. He did not acknowledge the God of Abraham as the source of his provision. Here is what Jacob said to Laban in Genesis 31. 38, I have been with you these 20 years. Your female sheep and goats haven't aborted your young. I haven't eaten the male animals in your flocks. If one of your flock was destroyed by wild animals, I didn't bring the carcass to you, but bore the loss myself. You demand that I compensate you for any animal stolen, whether by day or by night. Here's how it was for me. During the day, thirst consumed me, and at night the cold. My sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I've been in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the one whom Yitzhak fears, had not been on my side by now, you would certainly have already sent me away with nothing. And God has now seen how distressed I've been and how hard I've worked. And last night, he passed judgment in my favor. How did he do that? He told Laban, don't say anything to Jacob. Don't say anything. Of course, this is after Laban had already searched through everything and could not find the gods that Rachel was sitting on. They were unclean. They were part of this symbolic that she was sitting on them during the time of her menstrual period, denoting that that's a time of uncleanness. And in Jeremiah, God refers to the idolatrous worship of the Hebrews at his time as an unclean menstrual rag. Or maybe it was Ezekiel. But anyway, you get the picture. It's disgusting. And therefore, let's see what Laban said. He totally answered Jacob, the daughters are mine, the children are mine, the flocks are mine, and everything you see is mine. But what can I do today about these daughters of mine or children they have born? So now, come, let's make a covenant, I and you, and let it stand as a testimony between me and you. All right. God had to speak to Laban. And he stopped him in its tracks in a dream and said, be careful that you don't say anything to Yaakov, either good or bad. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuked Laban. Here we see earlier that the Lord rebuked Laban because Yaakov was being obedient to Adonai in chapter 31 of Bereshit, Genesis, verse 3. Adonai said to Yaakov, return to the land of your ancestors, to your kinsmen. I will be with you. Better know when God asks you to do something that if you have his word and you are obedient to his word, he will be with you. Let's go on to the next section of the story here to see what the progress is. Let me also note here that I have been reading from the Complete Jewish Bible, an English version by David H. Stern. Mr. Stern. Now, Laban answered Jacob. We read that. So now, verse 44. Come, let's make a covenant, I and you. And let it stand as a testimony between me and you. And Jacob took a stone and set it upright as a standing stone. Then Yaakov said to his kinsmen, gather some stones amid. And they took the stones and made a pile of them and ate there by the pile of the stones. Laban called it Yagar Shahaduta, pile of witness in Aramaic, while Yaakov called it Gal-ed, pile of witness in Hebrew. Now, I want to look at these names because they're going to show something. Yegar Shahadata is from a word derived from an unused root meaning to gather. So the heap of the testimony is the gathering together of Gedar, the heap of the testimony of the witnesses. And it's reminiscent of Jesus saying, you know, if you don't cry out Hosanna, the stones will cry out and witness that Yeshua is the stone. He is the chief cornerstone of the temple. He is what is called in Daniel the stone cut out of the mountains without hands. Whenever an altar was made for sacrifice among the Hebrews, the stones were not to be cut out or chiseled or worked on in any way. And it spoke of the altar, the blood covenant, the covenant altar of which Yeshua, and as we saw before, removes the sin, removes the deceit in the heart that we spoke of before back here a little ways, that you have deceived me or you have stolen my heart. This is always a heart issue with God. Worship is a heart issue. And the stones, we worship according to the door of Yeshua. And then let's progress on. These stones are the covenant. And the covenant from the foundations of the earth was Yeshua, the Lamb slain, which Abraham made covenant. And the covenant was made with blood. And this is a blood covenant. These are blood relatives. But obedience. You must love God more than home, family, children, all these things. Or you're not worthy of following Jesus. You're not worthy of him. This pile of witnesses between me and you today, that is why it's called Gal-ed. And also Ha-Mitzpah, the watchtower. The Lord is watching over this. The Lord is the ultimate watcher. The eyes of the Lord search to and fro over the whole earth, searching for those that he might show himself strong on their behalf. Searching because he said, may Adonai watch between me and you when we are apart from each other. And what's he going to watch? He's going to watch them when they're separated. He said, if you cause pain to my daughters, or if you take wives in addition to my daughters, then even if no one is there with us still, but God is a witness between me and you. God is witnessing everything that takes place on the whole earth. Verse 51, Laban also said to Yaakov, here is this pile. Now Laban's going to testify, make covenant. And here is this pile, and here is the standing stone, which I have set between me and you. May this pile be a witness, and may the standing stone be a witness. May I suggest that this refers to or infers to Yeshua, the stone, that I will not pass beyond this pile to you, and you will not pass beyond this pile and this standing stone to me to cause harm. So here the conflict is violent, potentially. May the God of Abraham and also the God of Nahor, the God of their father. All right, here's the God of both Laban. Nahor is their father, the father of Abraham, and Laban is the God of both of them. Judge between us. This is what Laban says. But Yaakov, okay, here's the contention. It's coming out of Babylon, mystery Babylon. There's a contention, and it can cause harm. And it's over the material possessions and the children. Whose children are they? Are they the God of Nahor's, or are they God of Abraham's? But Yaakov swore by the one his father Yitzhak feared. Yaakov offered a sacrifice on the mountain and invited his kinsmen to the meal. They ate the food and spent the whole night on the mountain. So here there was, hey, you don't go past this stone, and you know, this is going to be a pile of witnesses between us. And Laban still chose the gods of Babylon, divination, idolatry, demon worship, whereas Yaakov, the contention here is Yaakov is serving the God of Abraham, and the standing stone speaks of the promise, the coming of the Messiah. Now we're going to take a little dimensional shift in Genesis 32. Maftir, verse 1. Early in the morning, Laban got up, kissed his sons and daughters, and blessed them. Then Laban left and returned to his own place. Yaakov went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Yaakov saw them, he said, "This is God's camp," and called that place Mahanaim, two camps. All right, that is the title of this section of the war scrolls. First of all, something had happened. There was a shift in what was going on. The Lord spoke to Laban. He backed off. They made a covenant. He left. And then the gates were opening. The angels were dimensionally shifting. And these are angels. They're called Malach, which means to dispatch as a deputy and messenger specifically of God. That is an angel. But it's also a prophet, priest, or teacher, ambassador, angel, king, or messenger of Elohim. Gods in the ordinary sense, but specifically used of the supreme God. God occasionally applied by way of deference to magistrates and sometimes a superlative angels. Okay, so they were Malach Elohim, these gods. And then Mahanaim, the two camps. It's an encampment of travelers or troops, hence an army, whether literally of soldiers or figuratively, and this is the part I like, of dancers, angels, cattle, locusts, stars, or even the sacred courts. Army, band, battle camps, company, drove, host, tent. Like Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies of heaven. Mahanaim is actually a place in Palestine, in the Jordan Rift Valley. It's on the way, well, it's more into the hills of Samaria, what's called Samaria today. Between Bethel or Jerusalem and the Galilee. So this is an actual literal place that exists and is called this today. And this is a place of the encampment of the two armies. And this is very important because this talks about the spiritual dynamic, the tension going over who is the Lord of the armies of heaven and who will have preeminence. Who will have preeminence? I'm going to go into this just a little bit more, not much, because I really want to develop it later. But it says in the Song of Songs, "Who is she who looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, awesome as an army with banners? Before I was even aware, my soul had made me as the chariots of my noble people, the beloved and his friends. Return, return, O Shulamite, return that we may look upon you." The Shulamite, what would you see in the Shulamite? As it were, the dance of two camps. This is Song of Songs, verses 10 through 13. Now, let me say here that on a current note, this is the battle several years ago up in the Golan Heights. We took a team, so a few people went up to pray over the river, and a pastor was worshiping with his guitar and singing a dancing song, and I had a vision of the Lord Jesus with his robes coming dancing over the hills with all these people behind him. And then we went up to Safed. And Safed is the Kabbalah Center, International Center Kabbalah is Jewish witchcraft. It was so bad. I got a migraine headache. I was going to throw up. Someone else did also. It is also Safed. It's on a mountain. It's the high place on the mountain. It used to be the ancient administrative center for the Knights Templar of the Levant. So here we have the Masonic Kabbalah, you know, stronghold in the spiritual realm and this place. And the Lord, he is Lord of the armies of the heavens. And dancing is a form of spiritual warfare. In fact, many, many cultures in the Middle East and through Central Asia, the men dance. They dance and they invite, it's a form of worship, the presence of God. So as you see, Safed is a root of contention spiritually over the Middle East and Israel. Now, I want to go back to Bethel and this place of meeting, what the prophecy was before Jacob left. He had a conflict with Esau, and even today, this is a generational conflict that's going on in this land. When and this is prior to the events that I just spoke about right now, but we're going to tie it in to the gates of heaven. Genesis 28:10, and Yaakov went out from Beersheba and traveled towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed the night there because the sun had set. He took a stone from the place and put it under his head and lay down there to sleep. He dreamt that there before him a ladder was resting on the ground with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of Adonai were going up and down on it. Then suddenly Adonai was standing there next to him, and he said, I am Adonai, the God of Abraham, your grandfather, and the God of Yitzhak. The land on which you are lying, I will give to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the grains of dust on the earth. You will expand to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. By you and your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Look, I am with you. I will guard you wherever you go. I will bring you back into this land, because I won't leave you until I've done what I promised. And Yaakov woke from his sleep and said, truly, Adonai is in this place. And I didn't know it. And then he became afraid and said, this place is fearsome. This has to be the house of God, Bethel. This is the gate of heaven. Yaakov got up early in the morning, took the stone he put under his head, and he set it up as a standing stone, poured olive oil on his top, and named the place Bethel, the house of God. But the town had originally been called Luz. All right. The prophecy here was before Jacob left Israel. He was fleeing, or Canaan, excuse me. He was fleeing Esau. And Esau wanted to kill him. And hence, God, God gives this prophecy to him and tells him that he's going to guard him, and he's going to bring him back to the land. So the previous, we had Jacob, after 20 years of this Bethel experience, was going to come back to the land. And he called this place, and he said he did the same kind of witness. He put up a standing stone, only it's where he rested his head, and poured olive oil on it. This speaks of Yeshua, the chief stone. Again, in the anointing and the house of God, the ladders of God, the open heavens, these all speak of Yeshua. God himself is going to bring this to pass and bring him back here. The thing that is such a shame is that, having been to Bethel in the last few years or so, well, there is a synagogue there that's full of Kabbalah teachings. And when you come in, In the back is this huge silver sculpture of the ladder of heaven, and it has 49 steps. And I asked the docent for the tour, where did you get this? There's 49 steps to heaven. Oh, it's in the teachings of the Zohar. And I had felt an occult spirit on the whole Orthodox synagogue. Therefore, I might propose to you that they are worshiping, the Orthodox Jews have been worshiping the wrong God, even as Rabbi Kaduri said that Yeshua, he is the Mashiach before he died and a year after. He released his note stating so in cryptic language. Now, let's progress to Hosea 11, 1 through 12. And in this passage, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and I called my son out of Egypt, one of the children, under Moses. And as they called him, so they went forth from him and they sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven image. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with the cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was as to them as they take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refuse to return. What does that mean? Return, repentance, teshuva, to turn and stop going the wrong way. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches and devour them because of their own counsels, because they thought that God was like them, and they counseled themselves according to their own mental assent. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. They would not exalt the God that brought them out of Egypt. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? We could say this to the United States also. How shall I deliver you, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I see thee as Zeboim? My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God, and not man, the Holy One, in the midst of thee. And I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. And when he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. Place them in their houses, says the Lord. Ephraim compassed me about with lies and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet rules with God and is faithful with the saints. Now this particular passage talks about God is bringing his judgment, and he's been angry. It's kind of like a backsliding whore. But he's not going to utterly destroy the people. There will be a remnant left. There will be a remnant left. They that walk after the Lord, and they shall return to him. Let's look at the final scripture again, John 1:47, when Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israel indeed in whom is no guile, no manipulation, no supplanting, no deceiving, the guile, the serpent." Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And the fig tree is very prophetic of Israel. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, believe you? You shall see greater things than these." And he says unto him, what's the greater thing? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And who is this Son of Man? He is the only door, the door of blood, by which men might be saved. He's the only name given under heaven into which you may enter into eternal heavenly splendor. He's the door of blood. He is the light of the world.